Welcome to Cloverdale Baptist Podcast. We're glad you are joining us on this day to learn how to identify and reshape your worldview. And we've been talking about that for a little while. And one of the things we realize is that when we live in the world and seek to be not of the world, it's actually very difficult. Not only because of our own perspectives and how we long to be shaped, not conformed to the patterns of the world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind, if you want to take a Romans 12:2 perspective, but also because those around us, those we love, are also swimming in this same world, and often they are influenced by the world around them. And it's difficult when you love someone who is choosing to not think the way you think, not walk in the way you walk. And when I say difficult, especially when it goes against God and it's outside of His Word. And that is happening more, at least in terms of my own sphere of influence, in the circles that I run in, which are what I would call biblical churches, than I've ever seen before. And so what I want to have a question and answer kind of here is, how do we respond to those we love? Maybe it's our adult children, maybe it's our friends, maybe it's spouses who choose to live in a different way than the Bible teaches and choose in that to defend that and think it's okay. Some even to defend it and say it's biblical, it's God, God is love. And so some are perhaps living with their boyfriends or girlfriends before they're married. Premarital sex, is that okay? Is divorce okay for any reason? I'm just unhappy, and so I don't want to be with this person anymore. Homosexuality or lesbian or transgender, or the list could go on and on and on of people who are saying, well, it's just who I am, or I just want to be happy. And in my background, that has it certainly invaded other churches. I think what we're discovering more and more is because the perspective of the world or worldview that comes from conforming to how the world thinks is becoming more and more pervasive in churches, we need to know how to respond to this. We want to help, and we don't want to turn them away. We don't want to compromise or accommodate, but we want to do that in a way that's wise. And I think it's getting harder and harder. So today I want to ask and answer the question, how do we respond when someone we love is living out a different worldview than us, and in that worldview, choosing to disobey God and His Word? I'm going to make some assumptions. I'm going to assume that historical Christianity is true. I'm going to assume that those listening here love the Bible and want to obey it. And so the issues that I'm going to address, and again, if we went back to the front, living together before you're married, clearly it is disobedience to God. Sex before marriage, clearly disobedience to God. Adultery, clearly disobedience to God. Divorce, for the reasons that are unbiblical, clearly disobedience to God. Homosexuality, clearly disobedience to God. Transgender, and again, we could go on and on in these. We're going to make the assumption that you agree with me that those aren't biblical. So I'm not going to go through and prove what the Bible teaches about the value of male and female and made in God's image. I'm going to rather respond to those who we love who have a different worldview than us, and how do we help them? And so I want to walk through what I would call five steps and then two things to avoid. And I hope this will help you at least with some of the foundational things. I know in each situation, it's unique, it's different. And in each situation, you have to respond differently in love and conviction. But I want us to have a pattern, kind of the essentials. So I'll just walk through these with you. And again, hope that these can help you as you see those in your life whom you love deeply. Maybe it's a child, maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a family member who are choosing to reject the Bible and in that to reject God, and choosing to live out their worldview in a pattern that is dishonoring to God, and perhaps you would feel dishonoring to you. The first is make sure that you love unconditionally. But let me state it a different way. Live a life of love just as God loved us and gave Himself for us. This is what it means, Ephesians 5, 1-2, to be an imitator of God. And so what you need to do is make sure that you show love and speak love to those who are in your world who are experiencing this kind of struggle with sin. Never condone the sin, but always express love for the person that God has placed in your life. As simple as, I love you, or as simple as choosing to do things for them that display that kind of love. It's a choice and will always involve words and action. And if somebody's close to you, learn their language of love and choose to show them that love. In other words, their choices for sin will and we're going to speak in a minute about never compromising, but their choices for sin will not cause you to stop loving them. In fact, perhaps it will intensify your love for them. In other words, your love is not conditioned on their perfection. It's conditioned on your experience of God's love and the relationship you have with them. And so you will always choose to show that love and speak that love to them in an unconditional manner. Secondly, never bend on what Scripture teaches. Hold firm to the Word of God and make sure that your stand is biblical and informed by the Bible. Make sure that you turn to God's Word, and certainly your church family should be able to help you with that. The Scriptures are very clear, at least on the issues we just mentioned. Hold firm to God's Word and make sure they understand your view of the Bible. Now, I'm going to say in just a minute, don't make that your focus, but do make sure they understand your view of the Bible. So, for example, if your son or daughter is living with someone outside of marriage, you don't have to talk to them every time you see them about that sin. Rather, make sure that they understand what you believe and make sure that that's clear, and then hold firm to that and don't compromise just because of your love for them. In fact, your love for them, if it's a biblical kind of love, should actually cause you not to compromise because you love them enough to want what God's best for them is. So love unconditionally, never compromise. Love unconditionally, never compromise. Thirdly, make sure that your life and your lips share more about the gospel than the truth of the sin that they're struggling with. In other words, make the gospel the center of your relationship. And when I say this, this takes wisdom as well, because you don't want them to feel you're preaching that them all the time, but use opportunities to share your testimony. Use opportunities to express your love for God and the experience of His love and the richness of what it means to be forgiven. And I think this is easy to do in terms of if they're entering into your space in your life. For example, and I asked permission to share this, but a wonderful couple came to me and said, you know, we're struggling with this. What should we do? And family members coming over for a holiday. Use that holiday with the person that they were sitting with. Use that holiday to remember the gospel out loud and to celebrate the richness of what Jesus has done. And I think every major holiday can be an excuse for us to do that. And we don't have to do it over and over again in a intense, long manner where you're preaching, but if you just share, hey, listen, this is what God did for me. I am so thankful. Me personally, I'm so thankful that, you know, I was raised in a Christian home. I'm thankful for my parents. But I struggled with sin, and I struggled with seeing the richness of God's grace. And when I finally got it and saw what I deserved in terms of the wrath of God and the richness of God's love for me, that He sent Jesus to die in my place, and that Jesus paid the penalty for my sin and rose again. And when I experienced that kind of love and I believed, and His grace was so overwhelming to me, it just changed my life. And now I want to align my life with the richness of His goodness and love. And I want to build my life and the house of my life on obedience to God's word. And I know I fall short, but I experience His grace. I confess my sin and I want to follow Him. If they see this as your life and hear it as your life repeatedly, I think that's where the focus should be. Not necessarily on every time they're over, you show them why homosexuality is sin or whatever. It's yes, you need to make that clear and never compromise, but then make your fixation with the gospel. Here's what I believe to be true. If someone truly responds to Jesus and acknowledges that they're a sinner and then repents of that sin, realigns their life with the gospel and chooses to live for Him, then the things we're struggling with on the surface become almost irrelevant, because their goal will be to find their identity in Christ and not in the behaviors they're choosing, and you'll be able to help them to obey Christ, and it becomes then a community of faith rather than a confusion of worldview clashes. So remember, the goal is the gospel. The goal is them trusting in Jesus and following Jesus, and be creative and constantly come back to that rather than the worldview difference that you have on the fruit of their worldview. Make it the core of the worldview, which is your belief in the God of the Bible and the incredible love that He has given in Jesus and the privilege we have of following Him when we believe in Him and the forgiveness and freedom and eternal life that that brings us. Love unconditionally. Never compromise with what the Bible teaches. Share more about the gospel than you do about the sin being struggled with. Fourthly, and this is very, again, will take very much wisdom, but do not allow sin, to the best of your ability, in the places where you're responsible to God for. So I'm thinking here particularly of your home. For example, if someone comes into your home, your son or daughter is living with someone, when they come into your home, you just give them separate rooms, or to the best of your ability, make sure that that sin does not occur in your home. Not in a judgmental way of what they do in their homes, but this home belongs to Jesus. And again, grace and wisdom, you're not judging them, but your home is a place of loyalty and separation to God and to holiness. So to the best of your ability, I would welcome sinners into your home. I think Jesus did this. He ate with sinners, but I wouldn't welcome sin into your home. And so you'd want that open door that invites and engages with, but never celebrate or allow for sin. It takes incredible wisdom. And so you will in that need to choose what that means for you personally. And that's not always easy, but I would strongly recommend it. So love unconditionally, never compromise. Share the gospel, make the gospel the center of your conversations where possible, not necessarily the sin that they're struggling with. Don't allow sin to the best of your ability in your home. Make sure your home or your places where you're responsible for are set apart for God and His glory. Fifthly, allow for and encourage questions and discussions, and listen more than you speak. And sometimes these will be extremely uncomfortable, and sometimes it will break your heart and you will weep, and sometimes they'll make you angry because of the decisions they're making and what it means for you personally and what it means in your relationship with God and their relationship with God. But we want to be those, and I would say this for us as a church, but now let me say this for you as a parent or a friend or a spouse. Allow for and encourage questions and discussions. And sometimes you'll get questions, you just, I don't know. And I don't know is an okay answer. And then you give your associate pastor a call, or your pastor a call, or you send an email and you say, can you help me understand what God's word teaches on this? Or how do I love someone through this? But listen to their hearts. In almost every case, I would say in every case, but I want to be careful. I don't want to overstate. In almost every case where I've dealt with someone who's come to me who's struggling with sin that they are choosing, whether it's living together, those sorts of things, almost always there are roots that you can get to that if you can bring solution to, if you can listen to and love in that listening, it's one of the best ways we love, almost always you can get to the place where you'll be allowed to express in a gracious manner what you believe and why and what that sin is doing to you. But it will take time, and it will take a listening ability, and it will take the desire that I would have for you anyway is a willingness to admit when you're wrong, or to admit when you don't know, or to admit when, yeah, sometimes it's confusing, and yeah, sometimes I am perhaps a little bit legalistic or self-righteous or traditional, whatever it is, because your goal is not necessarily to get them to agree with you on the worldview perspective. Your goal is to get them to Jesus, to align with Him, and then, of course, together in humility and submission to move forward. So those are the five things, the five kind of essentials I've called them, that if you're struggling with a loved one who is living out a different worldview than you, and in that creating huge pain for them and huge pain for you, love unconditionally, never compromise, share the gospel and keep that the center, not the sin that is being struggled with. Do not allow sin in your home, and do your very best to be a listener and allow for and encourage questions and discussions. Sometimes it will be extremely uncomfortable. Now, I want to give two warnings. So those are the five essentials. Here's the two warnings. First warning, I suppose I'm going to say this in a negative way, but I mean it in a positive. Don't struggle through this alone. Don't struggle through this alone. Get help. Build a community of other people that are struggling. Listen, this is much more prevalent than we would like to admit. And sometimes because it's kind of humility and because we're maybe fearful of how others will look at us, find a safe place where you can share what's going on in your life, where you can get prayer, where you can be someone who with them, don't call evil good or good evil, but pray for and encourage and pursue and weep together, and find a safe place, build a community of other people, not necessarily struggling with this, although I think that's helpful, but just a community of faith that will keep you in line with where you want to be. So that'd be warning one, number one, don't do this alone. Warning number two, avoid the extremes. And what I mean by this, and this is where my heart has broken as I've helped other churches through this, and I suppose it might even happen sometimes in our own church, but avoid the extreme of judgmentalism or the extreme of compromise. And these two, I think, are heavily involved in the temptation of the demonic realm to us when someone we love is struggling. The Pharisee would just say, hey, you're so wicked that God could never forgive you. I don't want to be around that wickedness. I don't want to be tarred by your sin. And it's a rejection of the person. Remember, the person is not the enemy. They're the goal. And if you choose to become a Pharisee. You choose to actually reject God in your rejection of them. So just avoid self-righteous judgmentalism and make sure that you understand who you are in Christ and why. And that will produce a humility and a love and a conviction that will avoid you being a Pharisee or avoid being a self-righteous judger of others. That would include other families struggling with this, by the way. I'll just mention that. I think, again, we do that very well as a congregation, but we're not standing above. We're standing in Christ, in humility, pushing people towards Him and the glory of what it means to know Him and be forgiven by Him. So avoid that. That's warning number one. Warning number two, in this second one, what to avoid. Don't compromise. And I've seen this so often because someone you love deeply is struggling with a sin. You see their brokenness. You see their pain. And you hear around you people saying, you know, if you don't, they could die. Or if you don't, they could be hurt. Or you could drive them away. And maybe if you just compromise here, compromise there, and I want you to remember that God's best is always the best. And if you truly love the person we're talking about, maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a child, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a parent, whatever it is, if you truly love them, then you won't be satisfied with anything less than God's best. And you'll pursue that in humility and grace, but you will never compromise the truth of the Word of God, because that would compromise your love for them and it would compromise their ability to find forgiveness and eternal life in Christ. If you're struggling with this, I'm so sorry, and it is so difficult. Don't do it alone. Don't be a Pharisee, don't be a Sadducee, but rather choose in prayer and full dependence on God and confidence in His sovereign plan to live a life of love, to never compromise what God's Word teaches, to be gospel-oriented, to root out sin in your own life and in the lives of others around you and where you're in charge, to make sure that your home or whatever it is you're in charge of is a place that honors Jesus. And then listen and encourage questions and discussions, even when they're uncomfortable and even when you don't have answers, so that you can together, God willing, lead them to Jesus, to devotion and submission to Him, and to full surrender that will lead to eternal life. It's not easy living in this world and seeking not to be of this world. It's not easy when we see those we love struggling. And so take heart. Be courageous. Don't surrender to the world or to the religious. But in that intimacy with Jesus, choose His way. And with the wisdom that the Holy Spirit provides in full dependence on Him, live your life in such a way that though they may accuse you of doing wrong, they'll see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He returns.